Hey y'all, welcome to chapter 5 of A Black Boy and His Black Coffee, a conversation meant to curate the black experience. And as y'all know, this podcast serves to cultivate all things black. Now, I want to do something a little bit different this week. I know we usually begin with a quote, but instead I want to gift a moment of adornment to the late and great Miss Diane Carroll, who gave us nothing but beauty, grace, regality. Come on, children, give me some more synonyms. Class, royalty, and peer dynasty, honey. Yes, God. Miss Diane Carroll was the first black Nubian queen to grace the screen as a lead actress in a TV series by playing a non-stereotypical role in her hit series, Julia. Now, she was also the first black queen to win a Tony Award. And of course, Miss Carroll ushered in the refined level of shade that only the best housewife can follow in with her glamorous portrayal as Dominique Devereaux on the hit series Dynasty. Now, just a fun little fact for the children. My mother actually named me after a character on the TV soap opera Dynasty because it was a refined gentleman who possessed a certain level of candor, a certain level of class, and I think she wanted her son to possess, you know, just a pinch of that character. And if I don't say so myself, I think he's doing a damn good job. But I digress. This is about you, Miss Carroll, so may you rest in grace, my dear. Now, in order to pay homage, in order to just lift her in honor a little bit more, I want the category for Chapter 5 to be Black Royalty. Not only because of Miss Carroll, but because, quite frankly, I feel like all of my melanated kings and queens and royals have been showing up and showing out in a way that is so inspiring. I feel like not only do we have a seat at the table, we are making the table, we're producing the table, manufacturing the table, copywriting the table, and trademarking the table. So, y'all, he is battling a cold, okay? The cold is coming for your boy, but the devil is a whole ass lie, and this emergency ain't nothing but the truth. So I'm gonna just keep sipping this coffee, sipping my emergency, drinking my water. And hope that I can get through this chapter. Oh my God, y'all, I'm so stuffy. Anyways, I digress. Where was I at? Yes, all of my black royals are showing out, and I just feel like I want us to celebrate it. I want us to bask in it, and I want us to keep progressing and keep moving forward. So, I'm assuming y'all have been taking notes, so that cup of coffee better already be brewed. That special fall roast, hopefully from your favorite coffee house, is permeating wherever you are. But let's get right into it, y'all, because it is certainly time to sip and talk, because the category is Black Royalty. Now, first up, let me just say this, y'all. I have already taken my tardy slip to the principal's office. They will sign it, and then he will continue to work on his lateness. But I must give it up to the Black Queen herself, Robin Rihanna Fenty. You, my dear, are black gold, but you already know this. Now, my mama always told me not to assume, because when you assume, you make an ass of yourself. But I'm just going to assume that y'all children have enough sense to have either seen the production, viewed pictures of the production, read an article, saw a headline, something. I know y'all have been privy in some fashion to Rihanna's production that she put on, because it was one for the goals. Now, Riri put on a one-of-a-kind experience. I want to say a once-in-the-lifetime, but this is just the beginning for her. So lucky for us, we're going to get to experience this more than once. But the production, to say the very least, was innovative, it was unique, it was ahead of its time, and it was 100% dipped with swag. Miss Riri has officially ushered in a new league of fashion shows, because hers was so genius in the fact that it highlighted everything that we love about a fashion show, and it negated everything that we do not like about a fashion show. and produce something that was just genius. I feel like Mama's married a museum exhibit to a fashion show, and that marriage birthed brilliance. We love you for this, my dear. I, of course, cannot purchase, or I said, of course, I can purchase Savage if I want to. Damn, best believe it, I can, but I'm not going to. But I look forward to all the other lines that you're coming out with. Hopefully you make something for the men out here that I can rock, and just have an ounce of your swag. And we just look forward to all the other productions that you, my dear, are putting on. I do have two small critiques, though. In the next production, I do not need you to be in the opening choreo routine. And I say that because of this. Rihanna, we respect you because you are a boss bad bitch. Point blank, City Girls, period. Okay? You get on stage, you give us a 1-2 step, you hit us with the, oh, na-na, oh, what's my name, Rihanna, oh, what's my name, and do the damn thing while looking flawless. But if you're not singing, you know what I mean? I don't need you just on stage doing choreo. Just leave that for the choreographers. You're above that, you know what I mean? Save your cameo. Grace us with your presence at the very end. You know what I mean? That's all. Lastly, you had Halsey perform at your production, which that in and of itself was the biggest blessing that she should be appreciative with in this lifetime. But going forward, my dear, I don't need Halsey in any association with any production that Rihanna is making. She does not do herself justice. She sure as hell does not do you any justice. So moving forward, we can withdo from her. Okay? Easy enough. If you haven't seen the show, check it out on Amazon Prime. I believe it is still out. But moving on to another Black Nubian queen, Miss Nicki Minaj is debuting her collaboration with Fendi. Not Fenty, ladies and gentlemen, Fendi. Per Fendi's words, Nicki is creating an eye-catching capsule collection suited for both men and women, available to the masses on October 14th. So literally, we are slowly approaching that. We're a couple days away. You know, if you need to transfer a little bit of coins from the savings to the checkings so that you can get your pieces, make sure to do that. I think that we should absolutely stand behind the fact that Miss Nicki Minaj is the first African-American queen to do a collaboration with Fendi. So needless to say, high fashion continues to acknowledge the very people who put them on. And for that, I'm very appreciative too. Honestly, I checked out a couple pieces and the line is actually, it's pretty hot. Like usually I feel like sometimes with these celebrity collaborations, especially when you take a celebrity and you put them with a fashion house, they tend to be very safe, general population pieces with their names scattered across it. You know what I mean? And it doesn't feel like it's necessarily like a curated collection that is reflective of them. Whereas with Nicki's collection, I feel like it's curated pieces that reflect Nicki Minaj. You understand what I'm saying? So yes, I'm all the way here for it. I really do appreciate the fact that her line caters to both men and women. So let's just give it to Onika because she continues to give the gods what they want. Just a side note though, my dear, I know it was maybe 3, max 4 weeks ago, you said that you would be driving down the lane of retirement, honey. Well, to no one's surprise, she has just released a track, entitled Fendi. I know, super, super fitting. And I don't believe it's her track, as she is a feature on the track, but needless to say, Mama's is still has 5 toes in music. She also is on that new DaBaby track. I believe it's called iPhone. Super, super hot. We'll get into that later. But like I said, she's giving the children what they want. And Nicki, we want music, we want fashion, we want personality. We want 50 Shades of Onika Minaj. So just give it to us, honey. keep feeding us, because you, my dear, your star is so bright. Now, I think you're crazy at times, but listen, so am I, and so is the rest of human civilization. And as long as we have prescriptions and therapy, then we'll be good and we can push on. So yes, Miss Onika, may your fashion line sell out just as quickly as Tekashi 6ix9ine did in court. Boom. Moving on to another Black King, let us just take a moment to sit in shame for a whole second, because I'm guilty, you're guilty, everybody's guilty. And let me tell you why. I have shaded, I have come for, I have talked about, I have laughed at, and given many side eyes to Tyler Perry and all of his productions. Now, whether it be Madea, Why Did I Get Married, Family Reunion, or whatever else film Mr. Perry does, I have not always enjoyed what he is serving. But let me say this. Tyler Perry has always, 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 and when I say always, I mean always, supported us. He has employed Black and brown people since they say go without question. And for that, I have to give it to him. Y'all, let me pause because I'm a little stuffy. Take down this emergency. Hold on. Mm. Woo! Let the choir say amen. Yes, but he's employed us since day say one. And I think that for that, we just have to be, we have to recognize it. We have to be respectful of it. And thank him. But in his newest endeavor, he has literally established history. So let me break it down for y'all. He just recently debuted a 334-acre multi-purpose studio. Now, let me tell you this. 334 acres is the largest film production landscape that this country has ever seen. Now, just to add some perspective, I'm going to paint this little picture, okay? I know y'all have heard of, like, Warner Brothers. Don't ask me what they produce, but some really big things. It's Warner Brothers, y'all, okay? Well, Tyler Perry Productions is larger than Warner Brothers, okay? What's another one? Paramount Studios. I know y'all have heard about that. Tyler Perry Studios? Yeah. Still bigger than Paramount. How about Walt Disney Studios? I know y'all have heard about that. Tyler Perry Productions, still larger than that. Like, size does not compare to what this man has just constructed. Tyler Perry Studios is not only larger than all of its younger siblings in regard to Walt Disney, Paramount, Lionsgate, all of them. But it's beyond me, because all of those studios can fit inside his one 334-acre multi-purpose studio, y'all. Like, this speaks volumes. And when I say it establishes history, like history is just rewriting itself. Yes, God. Of course, I shouldn't say of course, it's a shame that Tyler Perry is the first African-American to completely own his film studio, but I'm so grateful that he has, and I feel like we are only going to follow suit. To just add a little bit of merit onto all of this glory, he also built this multi-purpose film studio on top of a dilapidated Confederate base. Now, this Confederate base, y'all, I'm laughing because it's sad, it's amazing, and it's like, it's 360. It's very 360. So he built this, like I said, this multi-purpose film studio on top of a dilapidated Confederate base. And of course, the Confederate base literally operated with the sole intention to ensure the systematic oppression of Black people. And then years later, we have this Black king come and purchase this land and literally rewrite history to ensure the success of his people. If this isn't Black excellence, I don't know what the fuck is. Tyler Perry, we salute you. Thank you. Okay, moving on in entertainment, a bowl that we call Super, or just simply said, a Super Bowl, has officially announced that Colombia and Puerto Rico will be giving us our entire lives very shortly. That's right, folks. Jennifer Lopez and Shakira will be joining forces for the 2020 Super Bowl halftime show. I'm super, super excited. I love the fact that we are just openly embracing the Latinx community, you know what I mean? No shade, but shade. I just feel like us melanated folks tend to shine whenever on stage. And I feel like we do it so effortlessly that, it should just always be a thing. I feel like they're certainly both entertainers. They are both performers. They both have body, yaddy, 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 yaddy. They are both as beautiful as the day is long. And I am all the way here for it. Honestly, y'all, I still want my girl Riri to perform. But we will just wait patiently because, as we all say, patience is certainly a virtue and a virtue that Riri is worth waiting on. Anyways, though, I know that we will thoroughly be entertained with J-Lo and Shakira. So, as always, the only thing I look forward to with the Super Bowl is the halftime show. And there you have it. Last up in entertainment, your president's favorite celebrity confidant, Kanye Amari West, is expected to release a new album in favor of Jesus Christ any day. Now, I'm not sure if the album is going to be categorically gospel or if he just simply intends to rhyme Jesus with Yeezus. But regardless, my thoughts on this are the following. May the Lord be with him. Amen. All right, folks, let's just take a moment. Let me regather. Let me take a sip of this emergency. Let me take a sip of this coffee, and then we will continue. Yes, God. Okay, so we are back and it is time for a pump of politics. Now, I believe I mentioned last chapter that I would possibly entertain the idea of reading the entire transcript for the phone call between your president and the president of Ukraine that has single-handedly ushered in the impeachment proceedings, but I've decided to kind of postpone that production for right now. Oh my God, y'all. I'm sorry. So just a refresher for those living underneath a rock, the president of the United States of Anxiety has corruptly abused his office to coerce a foreign government to interfere in the 2020 election. Now his administration then proceeded to try to cover this up and failed miserably. At this very, very moment, the racist in chief is under impeachment scrutiny. Additionally, his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, has been subpoenaed under the impeachment of his failure to produce documents related to Ukraine. His personal esquire, or the penguin in a suit, as my boy Kid Furry likes to say, has been subpoenaed for Ukraine documents as well. And then now Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union and a critical figure in the Trump-Ukraine controversy, he was set to testify before Congress this past Tuesday. But literally like a couple hours before this testimony was supposed to begin, the Trump administration literally canceled it. Like they blocked it. They said, no, you cannot testify against your president. Don't ask me how the hell that works. How someone is set to testify before Congress and this house that we call white can say, no, you cannot do that is beyond me and seems unethical at the very least. Anywho, I also don't understand why the president would block anyone from testifying if he was in fact innocent. Because again, if I was in the president's seat and I was innocent and I did not, break any rules, laws, anything like that, why wouldn't I have someone who works for me testify and support the fact that I am this good old innocent person. I feel like it would only be you being guilty that you wouldn't want anyone association with you to attest to your guilt. But call me crazy. Listen, in true fashion, with all of this fuckery, the president recited the following on Twitter. If the Democrats, in true fashion with his, I'm sorry, if the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, which they will never be, it will cause a civil war like the fracture in this nation, from which our country will never heal. Quote, a civil war? Y'all, a civil war. If this rhetoric isn't sickening, if this doesn't silhouette the racist incitement, then I don't know what does. And just for those of you who may have forgotten what the definition of incitement is, it's any encouragement of another person to commit a crime. Y'all, please hear me when I say that the man who temporarily sits in the most powerful seat in the Western Hemisphere is literally threatening the very people he is supposed to protect by way of a civil war if he is impeached. This is a direct threat. Lord help us. Oh God. I'm sorry. I always forget to take my blood pressure medicine right before I do this segment because it always escalates to the highest degree. So let me just take a moment to decompress and let me take a sip. Okay. Moving on in politics, though. The Supreme Court heard, I believe it was just like oral arguments this past Tuesday in three cases that could quite literally decimate the legal protection for LGBTQ plus workers in America. So the cases, which are Altitude Express Inc. versus Zarda, Bostock versus Clayton County, and RG and GR Harris Funeral Homes Inc. versus EEOC, are about whether employees can legally be fired for their sexual orientation or gender identity. So these are all different cases where an individual was like terminated without merit due to either their sexual discrimination and or gender identity. These three cases will have an enormous impact on the lives of LGBTQ plus Americans. And honestly, as I was kind of, you know, surveying this and just briefing myself with it, I didn't even realize that there is no federal law protecting people from discrimination on the basis of sexual identity. Now, of course, there's many state laws, but there's no federal law. And I think a lot of us maybe are under the presumption that there is because historically speaking, LGBTQ plus workers have been able to seek kind of like legal recourse under the umbrella of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And this... I'm sorry, y'all. Title VII, it bans the discrimination on the basis of sex. So again, Title VII does not include sexual orientation, nor does it include gender identity. So for those that identify as like trans, for example, they don't meet the expectations by definition of the law. And because they don't cater to a particular assignment at birth, they're not considered protected under the discrimination on the basis of sex, you know? So I have to be very honest, and I must admit that, like, I need to be a lot more diligent when it comes to this manner. I need to do my homework a lot more. But at the bare minimum, I'm just bringing this all to your attention because I hope that I can make you all aware of these landmark hearings, because we all know that awareness is the only prerequisite required for advancement. So definitely keep your ear to that, because like I said, it can absolutely decimate any of the legal protections that we have for LGBTQ plus workers in America. And all of those sanctions should be upheld at the very least, but they actually need to be more inclusive of all of us on the spectrum. So, yeah. Moving on one step more, though, I do want to give a shout out to my native state once again for demonstrating progress so well. Now, there's so many things wrong with California. The price of living is just one. But unlike a lot of other states, if you flip our coin, there is a lot of good being done as well. Now, pharmacists in California will officially be able to dispense HIV prevention drugs without a prescription beginning next year under a bill signed into law this past Monday by Governor Gavin Newsom. I don't know why I always hesitate when I say his name because I feel like, I don't know. Anywho, but we are officially the first state in the nation to allow such an arrangement. And the Senate bill, which is 159, will expand access to prevention drugs. You know what I mean? This bill will actively go into effect January 2020. So I'm super, super happy for that. Like I said, the fact that HIV prevention is systematically very hard to attain because of what we've constructed with medicine and, you know, and all of that. I feel like the fact that California recognizes that this is a epidemic that we can certainly prevent. This is something that does not need to be a death sentence in 2019. This is something that every citizen, every basic human being should have access to. And so the fact that they have made it so that everyone has accessibility towards PrEP and PEP in regards to being diagnosed with HIV, AIDS, I really, really appreciate it. And I feel like most importantly, this is going to help all of the LGBTQ plus community, but specifically, it's really going to help those of color in the LGBTQ plus community, because as we know, we're marginalized in a sense where accessibility towards these drugs with prevention is always harder to access. It's always harder to attain. It's always harder to acquire. So the fact that all of those barriers, all of those walls have now been deconstructed and we have easier access to that means that that many more Black and Brown sisters, brothers, royals, kings, queens cannot have that death sentence lingering over them and can take all the preventative steps necessary in order to ensure their health. So, like I said, I appreciate California for doing this. And yes, that's it. That's all I got for politics this week. Before I go on to the last segment, I do just want to say that I'm not sure if you guys have been aware of, but there's been a verdict that's been reached regarding the murder of a young African-American man by the name of Botham Jean. And the court of law prescribed a 10-year sentence onto a white female police officer named Amber Geiger. Now, this case has gained a lot of spotlight, a lot of attention, and I definitely want to speak on this case. But I'm going to be very, very frank with you. In this moment, I am still very much at war with my own emotions regarding this. And I say that because I feel like I'm being provided a lot of ammunition, yet with all this ammunition, I'm finding it hard to stop the war. You know what I mean? And when I say ammunition, I mean more information. I mean more facts. I mean more updates. It's constant. It's cyclical in nature. And it's very hard to prescribe to one side when there is an influx of developing news, you know what I mean? So I say all of that to say that I am going to speak on it, but I also want to be very authentic and very transparent in saying that I'm still sorting through my emotions. Now, there's no discrepancy. Let me be very clear when I say this. I absolutely believe that she is guilty of murder. I think that 10 years is... I think it is an understatement. I think she certainly should have had more years tacked on to that. So there's no, you know what I mean? There's no, I don't have to reconcile my sentiments in regards to, is she wrong or is she right? What I'm reconciling is the veneer that happened after the sentence, is all of the emotions displayed after she received this verdict is what I am trying to navigate. So, like I said, give your boy a moment to do that. And when I can gather all of these emotions, then I will be able to articulate exactly where I'm coming from with that. Fair enough? All right. Moving on to our last segment, though, we have three snaps for you, boo boo. And this week it goes to both a person and a place. The person is a Black gay student by the name of Brandon Allen, and the place is White Station High School in Tennessee. Now, this year, the school got rid of gendered homecoming king and queen titles, opting instead for a homecoming royalty crown award that is non-binary. Now, I love the fact that this is innovative, it's progressive, and it's the growth that a lot of academic institutions need to follow suit in. At the end of the day, we all know that royalty is not confined to a gender. So why this hasn't already been a thing, I don't understand why, but White Station High School, you are winning. While accepting his award, though, this Black king showed up in an extravagant sequin gown, and the entire ensemble was just, it was one for the gods. And I really appreciate what he said in his speech, which was, quote, "Don't you dare ever change yourself for anyone else but you. You are beautiful, you are unique, and you are special. Don't ever second guess your existence or your feelings for a second." So Brandon Allen, let the children give three snaps for you, boo. You are the best way to end with Black royalty. I appreciate y'all for tuning in once again. Y'all, your boy's cup is officially empty. Actually, I'm not gonna front. My coffee cup still got a little bit in there, but my cup of emergency is all the way gone. It has runneth over. I have definitely got to do better, or I have to feel better, because this is not cute. But I appreciate you guys for tuning in, for sticking with me through all the sniffles, the snuffs, all of that. As always, for all my listeners whose melanin may not be as abundant as mine, need not worry, just grab yourself an extra shot of espresso and join us next time. And for those in the community, as always, stay beautiful, blessed, and Black. Follow your boy on Twitter at a Black Connoisseur. All right, y'all. We'll see you next time.